The best way I know to tell you to raise your kids is the Bible instruction of doing it. You will not improve on the Bible way of raising children. We're living in a modern time in which they try to say new methods, new ways of raising children. And you look at this gang of kids we got coming up now. It is not working. You got parents nowadays trying to use psychology on the kids. You know, they don't want you to say anything negative. I heard about these two real educated, smart young parents that were like 23, and they had a little child, a little 3 or 4 year old girl, and they said, honey, instead of saying like, it's time to go to bed, it's your bedtime, like people used to, they say, honey, would you like to take your dolly to bed, or would you like to take your teddy bear to bed with you tonight? Now you see what they're doing? They're saying, we're using psychology on them. We're not really making them, it's their choice. So they're tricking them into giving them their choice of their, which teddy bear or baby doll they want to take with them to the bed. Honey, would you like to take your little baby doll, or would you like to take your teddy bear? See, we don't say, get in the bed, it's your bedtime. That's too negative. That's too old-fashioned, chauvinistic. That don't work anymore. We're modern. We use psychology. Would you like to take your little dolly, or would you like to take your little... And so the next day, the kid said, kid ain't supposed to go outside and play after supper. And the kid said, Mama, would you like me to go out the front door or the back door out in the yard to play? That psychology stuff works both ways, don't it? You try to use it on them, they'll throw it right back at you. The truth is tonight, you will not improve on the way God said to raise children. Somebody said a while ago during choir practice, they said, we're having an epidemic of babies around this church. I said, well, we go out and beg people to come, can't get nobody, we'll just grow on. Amen. In a few years, we're going to have a bunch of little youth choir about that big. And these kids in here are growing. Your kid is growing every day. These little newborns, it's not going to be long. Which one of it is that boy right there? Is right there? What's his name? Menus. He's 10 years old today. Menus, right there. And I remember when I was 10 years old. I remember. On my 10th birthday, I went into my mom, dad, and here's what I said. I said, Mom, just think, it's been 10 years. I was a dramatic little guy when I was, and that's what I said. I'll never forget that. I thought, 10 years, that is old. And Menas here is in his 10th birthday. And you're going to turn around, Jim, and he'll be 18, 19, wrong. I mean, you just have no idea how fast these kids grow up. Now, in the meantime, you have the terrible, awesome, big, gigantic responsibility of raising your kid right. A twig on a tree, you can bend it. When a tree's little, you can bend that twig whichever way you want it to grow. The sun, after that thing's big and that big around, you ain't bending it no way. And you wait till the kid's 5. If you wait till the kid's 5, you start working on it, you're way too late. They done bent a certain way. So tonight, let's take our Bibles. Everybody get your Bibles open, the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to show you what the Bible and how the Bible teaches to raise kids. Now, we need every parent in here. If you're a parent, you can hear my voice. Get in here tonight. I want you to hear this. You will not hear this. Dr. Field don't even know it. If he does, he's too chicken to say it. And the other ones out there don't know it, or they're too afraid to say it. And they try to come up with new methods and new modern day things and stuff like that. Look at Proverbs chapter number 10. And we'll start there tonight. And then we're going to a bunch of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 10. You will need this. You have to take class to get your driver's license. You have to take class to be a nurse. You have to take class to be a teacher. You have to take class. You ought to take some classes on being a parent. Amen? That's more responsibility than any of it. Proverbs chapter 10. And look at verse number 1. Proverbs 10:1. Bible said, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Let's think about this for a little while tonight. And let me just say just a few things about it this evening. There was a great woman one time named Susanna Wesley, and Susanna Wesley had about, I think, 19 children, and Susanna Wesley raised two of the greatest men that's ever been in this world, Charles Wesley and John Wesley. John Wesley, the great singer, Charles Wesley, or preacher, Charles Wesley, his brother, was a tremendous hymn writer, wrote some of our great hymns in the hymn book. John Wesley was one of the holiest living men that's ever been since the Apostle Paul. You should read the diary of the journal of John Wesley. Read it sometime. Get it. You can get it in some Christian bookstore and read the journal of John Wesley if you want to be educated in your Christian faith. Now, you need to know who these people are. That's the bad thing about going to a public school is you don't learn much about our Christian heritage. Carrie told me the other day, she said, Daddy, she said, Dax is coming home from school and he has this, that. And she said, when I was in school, they went to a Christian school. They said, we learned history, we learned it from a Christian standpoint. The great martyrs and the great people like that, they don't teach that, the great martyr in biblical sense, in the public school. And so that's why a Christian school is a far superior education, spiritually wise, to the public school. It is, if it's done right, if it's done right. And homeschooling is too, if it's done right. And that's the way it should be. And so tonight, I don't argue about that. No, there's no argument to it. And so tonight, she said, Daddy, everything I learned, she said, I learned about Christian martyrs. I learned about our Christian heritage. I learned about Whitfield and Charles Finney and people like that. And now they're not even in the history books. So tonight, if they do, it's strictly from a historical standpoint. Might have Jonathan Edwards Center, the hand of God, something like that. But anyway, I won't get off on all that. But Susanna Wesley had these rules here. And I'm just going to read these rules off to you tonight. And then I'm going to give you some other verses and all. Now, if what you're doing ain't working with your child, let me give you some tip tonight. Let me give you some help. I've raised three kids. I didn't do a perfect job. I wasn't a perfect parent. They wasn't a perfect kid. Still not. They're still not. But I have learned some things, and I've raised three of my own, and I've helped raise about 2,000 more with other people. And I'm going to tell you, here's what Susanna Wesley said. This is especially for mothers. Ready? Here's what she said. She had 19 children. She was up there with them Duggars, brother. And somebody said, how does that Duggar woman do with all them kids? You've got to have some structure. She said this. First of all, no eating between meals. She didn't let a kid just run in the kitchen and get something to eat anytime they want. Number two, all her children were in bed by 8 p.m. That's impossible now because of the way the world's set up. You might make it by 9. That you do the best you can. Number three, you take your medicine without complaining. A child has to be taught to take medicine. I'm not trying to be funny. They're going to step on your heart one of these days. If you let them do it. A child must learn to take medicine without complaining. Number four, subdue self-will in each child. A child's will must be broke. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. You got a battle in your home. Either you're going to win or your kids are going to win. And the will of the parent, listen to this, the most important thing I'll say tonight, the will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. You cannot let a little 2 or 3 or 4 year old run the household. You will regret it. I know people that can't even come to church because they cannot do nothing with a little 2 or 3 year old. Number four, five, work with God for each child's salvation. Work with the Lord to get every kid saved in your family. Number six, teach each child to pray as soon as they can speak. Number seven, require every child to be still during family devotions. That means if you're saying, all right, Daddy's going to read the Bible, honey, and we're going to pray before we go to bed, the kid can't be running around, I want this, I want that, I want this. Every child must be required to be still during family time and devotion. Number eight, Give children nothing that they cry for. If you give a child something because it's crying for it, you are teaching it. All you got to do is cry, and we'll give it to you. Mama, I want an ice cream. No. I hate ice cream. Okay, here, if you'll hush, I'll get out. You are ruining that kid. You're saying, look, you, as long as you act like that, you ain't never getting no ice cream. You do not get stuff you cry for. You ask for it like a gentleman. You ask for it politely, and I might give it to you. But you sure ain't going to get it if you cry for it. So that little boy come out, story come out at Walmart, and he come out Walmart, and he said, I want to ride a pony. And I'm saying, Mama said, honey, Mama's got to go. Mama's got to go. And she's pulling on him, and he's about this high. And he goes, And Mama's out there saying, honey, come on. And she's looking around. It's embarrassing her to death. You know why? Because she lays around the house all the time and won't teach that kid and lets the TV raise that child. The TV's her babysitter. And she don't get it down and teach her nothing. So when he gets out in public, he embarrasses her to death. And boy, I'll tell you, listen, if I had a kid and it was going, I would ride a pony, son, it'll be a snowing you know where when you ride a pony acting like that right there. Say amen right there. You say, you're a mean parent. You're a retard. You're a church member is what you are. I'm telling you, I ain't going to give a kid nothing that's going to act like that. I am not going to let a child's will prevail on my... Listen, I'm just old-fashioned enough. There ain't no kid in my house going to boss us around, tell us what we can do, what we can't do, where we can go. To say amen right there. Can you hear you? Lord, I get all ahead of myself here tonight. But he said, I'll ride a pony. She had to go in there and get change, put a quarter in that pony. And he sat there and he said, It lasts about 2 minutes. And then it stops. He said, all right, again. Now what are you going to do? Same old thing, over and over and over. I'm telling you, you better learn that the will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. Let me just say something tonight. I think anybody that abuses a child or is mean to a child ought to be put in jail. Amen. I do not believe in child abuse. I think anybody's mean to a kid, and I think a lot of parents, under the guise of discipline, are just mean and hateful, and just smart something being mean. I'm not advocating being a smart aleck, hateful, mean, bitter. I'm saying, shut up, old girl, come over. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about being mean and showing how big and tough you are. But I'm talking about in love, not let a child... you're going down the road, you know, where you want to eat? Oh, I don't know, where you want to go? Steakhouse. The little brat in the back says, we're going to McDonald's. And guess what, boy, that's exactly where they go. I mean, old daddy better keep his mouth shut. He'll be sleeping on the couch another week or two if he ain't careful. That's right, brother. Give children nothing that they cry for. Give them only what they ask for quietly. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed. If they come to you and say, I've done something wrong, and I'm sorry, I heard a man the other day. Listen, parents, you're going to face this pretty soon. I heard a man the other day on the radio preaching. And he said, my daddy was a preacher. He said, he taught us right. And he said, one time I come out of a store when I was about 8 years old. And he said, I come out of this store. And he said, I got an ice cream. And he said, I just went in there to get some bread or something. And I come out with an ice cream. I stole it. He said, I reached down there and got that thing. The man didn't see me. He got out in the car. He said, my daddy said, where'd you get that ice cream? And he looked up and he said, I took it, Daddy. And he said, my daddy looked at me and he said, young man, you're going to march right out of this car. You're going to march in that store. You're going to hand it back to that man and you're going to apologize to that man for what you did. You say, well, I don't think you should embarrass him like that. Yes, that's exactly what he ought to have to do. Amen. If a kid steals something, they ought to have to go make it right. If they don't, they're going to be standing in front of a judge one of these days, and he'll decide their fate for it. And he said, I'd have rather died than went in there and faced that man that run that store. But he said, I did it. He said, I had the fear of God in me and my daddy too. And he said, I went in there and I told that man, he said, here, I stole this ice cream and I'm sorry. And he said, you know what? He said, that man said, son, I'm proud of you. You done the right thing. He said, he tried to give me that ice cream and I wouldn't take it. He said, I ain't going out of here with that in my hand. My daddy will kill me. He said, he left it laying there. He said, he went right out and he went up and he said, I learned a lesson that day. He said, you don't take stuff that ain't yours. You don't take things that don't belong to you. Listen, it may have some embarrassing moments for your kids, but if you can teach them a lesson like that, let them learn it. Let them learn it. Let them get it deep down inside. You don't take things that don't belong to you. You don't tell lies. If you do tell a lie, you go back and apologize. Make it right. Get it right with whoever you done wrong. Listen, you better train. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, let's see what else she said. She said, do not allow a sinful act to go unpunished. She said, commend and reward good behavior. When they do something good, brag on them. She said, preserve property rights, even in the smallest of matters. That means this little one should be taught to respect that little one's toys. They should understand, this is mine, this is theirs. I got to respect what is other people's. I have to respect everything that don't belong to me as another person. Teach your kids that. Lord, there's some of these kids, I caught some this morning. Some of these kids come in here and put their feet up on the. I say, Lord, do y'all do that at home? You raised in a barn? I mean, my mom would kill us if she would never let us jump on the couch. My mom would never let us put our feet up on the couch. She said, your daddy works hard for that, and you ain't gonna jump on that couch with your feet. My mom wouldn't let us get up in the couch with our shoes on like that and jump all over the bed. Listen, they need to be taught. Somebody had to work and pay for that furniture. Somebody had to work. Brother, it ain't cheap. It ain't free. They don't give it away. Somebody got to pay for them. That sheetrock and them lights and them and the chandelier and the ceiling fan. Kids ought to be taught. You don't just take a baseball bat and hit the ceiling fan and throw basketballs in the house and bust the windows out and everything. They need to be taught respect for other people's property rights. All of that. Kids ought to be taught to strictly observe all promises. In other words, they promise you to do something, make good on it. And if you promise them something, make good on it. If you promise them you'll take them to get them ice cream, I don't care how tired you are, you take them. Now my girls are all sitting in here tonight. Tell the truth, I don't know. Did I ever promise y'all I'd take y'all somewhere and I didn't? What? When? Uh-oh. Well, he quit. He quit right after that. He retired.
He owns the team now, sir.
Huh?
He owns the team now. He'd play for you.
I was going to. I did take her to see Michael Jordan. I really did. I've never been to a pro ball game in my life. And I don't care if I ever go again. It was like that. We was up here watching them. They was across the interstate over yonder. They looked like they was that big. But anyway, I took her. I don't think I told you that, Corey. Did I? You see, that scarred her. She has never forgot that. I forgot all about it. I don't even remember that. But I think he retired right after I promised you that. Did I ever promise y'all something and just flat out didn't do it? Name it. Besides that. You better not say nothing right either. See that? I tried. I really did. I tried. I used to tell him this. Listen, I was gone. I don't know about all this stuff these guys put on these Christian radio saying that a man should quit his job to watch his kids play ball. That ain't true. Man got to make a living and pay his bills and serve God first. Now, I think you ought to go watch your kids' ball games if you can. But Lord, it ain't life or death. It ain't one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, really, you serve God, do right, take him to church, and pay your bills first. Amen? One man said, well, I missed my kids' football game, so I quit my job. Uh-huh. One excuse, good another. But listen, that's what Susanna Wesley said. Look here. She said this. I don't understand this. This is what she said. Girls, listen. Don't require a daughter to work before she can read. What she said. Don't require a daughter to work. They started them little back in. Before she can read. 5 years old. 4 years old. They can read now. Teach children to fear the rod. That's what she said. Teach children to fear the rod. Now, let me just give you some illustrations here tonight. Teach children to fear the rod. Use the rod of correction when necessary. Everybody listen to me. You are not going to improve on what God said. Proverbs 22, verse 13. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Every child in here tonight has foolishness. We'd say, just rebellious, just old me, just pride, stubbornness. How many of you have seen that stubbornness coming out in your child? You've seen it. I mean, it's in there. And by the time they get 3 or 4, buddy, they're just, it's them against the world. You are not going to break me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then it's a battle of your will and theirs. Now, the Bible tells you how to get rid of that, and the Bible said that we are to use the rod of correction. Now, the rod here in the Bible is exactly what it said. I don't know if I can use this or not. Maybe I can use this as a picture of a rod. All right, there's a rod right there. That's a little bit big, but in the Bible, the rod, the Bible said that they're to be taught to fear the rod. And I want to tell you, if there ain't a little brat in here tonight that wouldn't pick that right there, if it was in the hands of a mom or a dad. You are making a mistake and you're doing unbiblical punishment when you hit your kids like this. Behave. 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 I seen one woman the other day at Walmart or somewhere, and she said, little kid's going, nah! And she's going, and my little kid's going, nah! And she goes, you are not supposed to hit a kid with your hand. If you hit your kids with your hand, you are doing it wrong, and that's why it ain't getting the job done. The Bible said the rod of correction will drive it far from them. It's a hickory switch. It's about as big as my little finger, and a real one is limber. It's not that stiff. That's a rod there, brother. Amen. That's a pow. That's nothing like that. Now, it's a hickory switch. Now, you take a hickory switch, like off of a bush like that, and you say, how many of you tonight, your parents used a hickory switch on you when you was growing up? Oh, I see that. And look, you're in church here tonight. It didn't kill you. You're a law-abiding citizen. They must have done something right. Some of them people didn't get it. It's out there living like a devil tonight. You will not improve on what God said. God didn't say whip them with your hand. God said whip them with a rod. You break your little rod. And you say, you see this big boy? It's got your name on it. See that, Gagey? All right, it's got your name on it. See that? That's for you, boy. Where are the rest of them, that little heathen at? Back yonder? Amen. All right, see that? Hey, you. Look up here when I'm talking to you. All right, Linda, that's you. It's right here. It's what you're going to get, boys. It's right here. And you need it, too. And they ain't never been but one kid on the planet didn't need that. And his name was not you. His name was Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the only kid. A little boy, he's going to be needing one soon. That right over there, he's past due. He needed, and Meanie over there, he's way past. It's right here. You ought to heard him mocking me in here Wednesday night. He was making fun of everything I was saying. Well, how many of y'all heard that Wednesday night? Making fun of me. Acting like he was speaking in tongues and everything else. That's right, boy. Get him over here right now. We'll start out. The Bible said, you say, listen, I was talking to this girl in Walmart not long ago. I got to witnessing to her. Talking, I don't know how we got off on this. And I said something about children. She said, my child is a good child. She's never needed a whipping. I said, how old is she? She said, she's 12 years old. She's never needed a whipping. And I said, listen, there ain't one kid ain't never need a whipping. That was Jesus. And she said, mine hadn't. I thought, Lord, you, I'd hate to see. Listen, we had a little girl come here not long ago to this church. She is rebellious as the devil. And I said, don't your mama ever whip you? She said, I've never had a whipping. And I thought, it shows. It definitely shows. It definitely shows. Now listen, I don't like to. I didn't like it. Boy, I used to dread it. I'm not saying you ought to be trigger happy. I'm not saying you ought to beat them if they look at you cross-eyed. But listen, brother, that's what God said to do. You put it, and you put it up on top of the refrigerator like that. Up on top of the refrigerator. If you don't, the little demons will go get it and hide it somewhere so that when you get mad, you'll cool off before you can find it and change your mind. So you got to put it out there on top of that refrigerator like that right there. And you teach them, you say, you see that right there? That's what you're going to get. Not the hand, rod. See, when you do like this, your kids ain't supposed to do like that. They're not supposed to fear your hand. Your hand is a sign of love and compassion and all that kind of stuff. Mama's hand. No, not like that. They're not supposed to fear your hand. They're supposed to fear the rod. When you raise your hand, that's how Mama's going to rub my face. When you raise the rod, they're going to say, Mama's going to beat the devil out of me. All right? You don't believe I'm right? Let's check your Bible. Get your Bible open. Let's do a little study here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this rod. All right? Look at your Bible. Everybody look at your Bible. Follow along with me now. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Here we go. Let's take a little quick. If you think you're a genius, you keep doing it your way, and yours will be in juvenile center and on drugs one of these days, breaking your heart. If you'll listen to me, this will help your kids stay out of jail and out of hell one day. He'll get saved, and he'll treat you with some respect and won't embarrass you in public. Here we go, Proverbs 13:24. Look at it, Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Man that won't discipline his kid, don't love his kid, he just don't want to put up with it. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Betimes means early. Proverbs 20 and verse 30. Flip on over to chapter 20 and verse number 30. Ready? Proverbs 20 and verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Amen. That's a rough verse, brother. That's a rough verse. You know what my mom used to say? Mom used to say, you strap them little legs. That's what the old folks did. I know that. Listen, they hear me preaching that now and call the social services. They'll put you in, they'll say it's abuse. But it ain't going to kill. A little strap with a hickory switch is not child abuse. That's about what the Bible saying. The stripes, the inward parts of the belly. You ever notice when you're real mean and wicked, and you know you get the devil beat out of you, your belly starts hurting right there and you get scared. You know when you get scared, it's right here in the belly. It'll cleanse that inward part of that belly, buddy. It'll get the devil out of you. Old saying, beat the devil out of him, that's exactly what it does. Now look at 22 and verse 6. Chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Look at chapter 22, verse 15. Chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Look at chapter 23, verse 13. Chapter 23 and verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. That's what the Bible says. You don't claim to be a Bible believer, you don't believe that. Look at chapter 29, verse 15. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you will not improve on old-fashioned Bible discipline. You'll say, now look, I don't want to do this, and I'm going to pray with you. Lord, help the little so-and-so here. Lord, help him to live right. Now you just, bah, 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 and give it ever how much you think the crime deserves. Not in anger, not in emotion, not in the heat of the moment, not because you got a headache, not because you got aggravated, but because you're teaching them. A whipping is not something you do to a child. A whipping is something you do for the child. You're doing it for his learning and for his future. You're not doing it to him. You're not doing it because, I'll show you, you little brat. You made me have a bad day, so I'm going to take it out on. That ain't it. You're supposed to be more adult than that. An adult's supposed to say, you need this to keep you out of trouble, so I'm doing it. Not because I'm mad. Matter of fact, you ought never to whip them when you're mad. Whip them when they need it. Give you an example. Give you an example. This is chocolate milk. I wish. It's really water. Let's start getting chocolate milk up here, Brother Ray. That Nestle's quick. We're just fine. All right. That little baby don't know no better, so it's all right. He's got 2 more weeks, Alicia. We ain't putting up with that no more. All right. How old is that baby?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. 1 more week. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Honey, don't you take that chocolate milk in that living room. And she just takes it right in there anyway. I told you not to take that chocolate milk in that living room. She takes it in there anyway. I told you not to take that chocolate milk in that living room. She takes it in there anyway. And everything's fine.
Yeah.
One day Mama's aggravated. And one day she's got a headache. And one day she comes in there and the kids are in there playing. Poof! And there goes the chocolate milk everywhere. And Mama goes off and goes, come here to me! I told you! Blam! 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 That's the wrong kind of discipline. Why is she whipping her? She ain't whipping her because she took that chocolate milk in the living room. She's whipping her because she spilled it and it got her mad. Right? Now the crime is taking it in there to start with. See, it confuses kids because they don't never know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. If I say don't take it in there, that's just as bad as spilling it. We shouldn't say, okay, I told you not to take it in there. Now you spill it and I'm going to beat you. I don't think a whipping a kid's right for an accident. I always tell my mind, if you couldn't help it, I mean, if it's an accident... I have accidents, don't you? Don't you? Haven't you knocked your drink over in a restaurant? I have. Ain't you glad somebody don't just knock you upside the head? I mean, you couldn't help. The crime wasn't spilling it. The crime was taking it in there. So you got to be consistent. And say, I was in somebody's house, and they said, I was trying to talk to her, and they said, honey, turn that down. The kid just looked at him. He's talking to her. She said, honey, turn that down. The kid just looked at him. Like, just kept watching him. I said, oh my goodness. I can't believe a 200-pound woman lets a 30-pound kid. I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing. We let a 30-pound kid tell him what to do. Can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Honey, turn that down. All right, if you don't turn that down, I'm going to whip you. That's stage 2. About 5 minutes later, if you don't turn that down, I'm going to whip you. They know they're not going to do nothing. That kid knows Mama ain't going to do nothing. She knows. He knows he ain't going to get no whipping. Mama is just all talk. Now listen, Mom, you're doing it a really disservice by lying to it like that. Amen. I'm just jumping around, Lord. I didn't plan on getting off on none of this like that. I heard this kid one time. Daddy gave it a whipping, and Daddy came in. I mean, just wore this little girl out. He said the next day, he said he was coming home, and they was out in the yard playing. He said he got out of the car, and she looked at him and said, I've been good. Oh man, that makes you feel awful, don't it? You know, that makes you feel awful. I've been good. That's why I want the Lord to look down and see me doing that every now and then. I've been good, Lord. Amen. That's what we ought to do, brother. I've been good. And listen, that's what a whipping supposed to do. Make them be good. By the time a child, everybody listen, by the time a child is 10 years old, they are a Christian or a pagan. They're a heathen or a Christian. They're bent toward one of them. I know kids that I've seen in this church, and I've got nobody especially in mind when I say that, especially in mind when I say this. I think there's kids in this church that's got demons. I'm not saying they're demon possessed, but they're demon influenced the way they act. I've said, do this, and they'll look at me and go, no! Son, I start wanting to get some holy water and throw on them or something. I start wanting to do like this, son. In the name of Jesus, get out. I'm getting to look like little devils in them things. I don't know what you're letting them kids play with. Listen, these games that they play where it's all devils and demons and spirits and other, you better watch that kind of stuff in your kids' head 8 and 10 hours a day. Demons jump on them kids. Oh, the mercy. I can tell here who respects me and who don't the way the kids act toward me. Listen, I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. If you think I am, you're crazy. But if I was a member and I went to a church, I'd wire one of my kids out if they said something about the man of God. Or their Sunday school teacher. Or anybody doing anything for God. Anybody! You know, you ask them. Ask them over there. Well, we cut up a lot. But they were not allowed to criticize God's man. One of our preachers said something at camp meeting back in October. And if you'll think, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, church wasn't over 30 minutes. We went to Shoney's that night. And Corey, she said, Daddy, what was wrong with him? I said, hush. She said, he was saying some weird stuff. You know, it made me proud of her, really. I'm glad they can pick up on it when somebody gets off. And the other one said, he didn't know what he thought. I said, hush. That's God's man. If God put that on his heart to say, shut up and listen to it. We might not agree with it, but hush. And I didn't agree with it. Man was wrong. But I'm not going to take sides with my kids against God's man. You're crazy if you do that. You're crazy if you do that. It's like when they get in trouble at school. You don't take your kid's side against their teacher. Ever. Ever. 99.9% of the time, that teacher is right. That kid come home, Mama, my teacher, and she's singling me out, and everybody was doing it, and I'm the only one who got in trouble. Now, you're a nut if you go down there at that school and pitch a fit and say, you jumped on my kid to the teacher. You better let that teacher tell their side of the story first before you start jumping. Anybody, pastor in a church, if you've ever taught, you know, kids got a way of telling their side of the story to make mom and daddy think they're a little angel. And they might even be telling the truth, but they leave out where they throw the rock through the window or something. You know how they'll do. They're little cons, brother, they are. They're little cons. Don't let them con you. All them kids are little cons. They are. Kid one time came out there and he said, go outside and get me a limb off that switch off that tree, and I'm going to beat the devil out of you. He went out there and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. Stayed about an hour. Finally come back in like you. He said, where's that switch? He said, I couldn't find one. Here's a wok you can throw at me. Oh, you ain't going to do nothing then, are you? Here's a wok you can throw at me. The Bible said, let not your soul spare for his crying. All right, let me read you something here tonight, and I'm going to have to stop. Maybe we can do some more next time. I didn't even get to one third of this. Y'all need it so bad. Look here. Jonathan Edwards, family tree. Jonathan Edwards, family tree. Great man. Jonathan Edwards was the son of a godly home. His father was a preacher, and before him, his mother's father. Trace the history of this man's kids and grandkids. More than 400 of them have been traced. They include 14 college presidents, 100 professors, 100 preachers of the gospels, missionaries, and theological teachers. 100 were lawyers and judges. And out of the whole number, 60 have been doctors, authors, and editors of journals. In fact, almost every conspicuous American industry has had as one of its promoters one of the descendants of Jonathan Edwards. Almost every successful business in America can trace some of their ancestors back to Jonathan Edwards, one godly man. Now, let's look at Ingersoll. Bob Ingersoll. He was raised in a preacher's home. The preacher was real backslid and wicked. Him and his brother turned out to be atheists and run away from home. And they said they hated God and hated church so bad. When somebody called them, they said, "We're going to put you in a home over here." And they said, "We ain't going no home where people are Christians." That's how bad they hated church. And their descendants turned out to be heathen and wicked. I don't want to take time to go into all that. But you just remember, parents, your child is God's gift to you. Can I say something to all the men here tonight? And I'm through. I'm going to say this to the men, and I'm through. Men, don't get so busy that you don't take time to just do stuff. My daddy, I don't ever remember my daddy being home. But now I do say this. My daddy took me out in the yard. He taught me how to hit a baseball. I remember him doing it. We did a little bit on Saturday evening. He taught me how to swim. He took us over in Lake James and throwed us in. It's easy. That's the easiest thing in the world. Teach a little boy how to swim when he's about five. Throw him in Lake James. And Daddy taught me stuff like that. But I never remember Daddy. I mean, his words still ring in my ear, and I learned a lot from him. And I naturally inherited a lot from him. Ain't no doubt about it. My daddy was not an educated man. He never went to school. I think he might have went second grade. He couldn't read and write. He was raised like an animal in West Virginia. Now you think about that. He couldn't read the signs that say Hickory. I mean, how he even got around. He could go anywhere and do it. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it. Anytime he had to go somewhere and they said, "You have to read this or fill this out," he'd say, "Can you read that for me? I left my glasses at home." And they'd do it for him. And somehow just bluffed his way through. But man, he had more sense than his little finger. He could think circles around you, man. He'd burn you a blister if you didn't watch him. And he had common sense. And I'd rather have, if I had to choose, you'd rather have common sense than education and being stupid. Now hopefully you can get both. Get both if you can. But Dad didn't have none. And somehow or another, nobody ever gave him nothing. He bought that house up there, my mom's, 25 acres of land, and sold dogs and guns and worked 7 days a week and paid for it somehow. Somehow. And kept blue jeans on us and tennis shoes and bought me a car. He helped buy a car when I got 16. I think we paid $600-$700 for it, an old Chevrolet, and I drove it around. But if I never had a son, but I want to read this to all you men who have a son tonight. And if you don't have, apply it to your daughter. I'm saying this and I'm through. Men, listen. My precious boy with the golden hair came up one day beside my chair and fell upon his bended knee and said, "Daddy, please play with me." I said, "Not now, son. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today." He smiled through tears in his eyes so blue when I said, "We'll play when I get through." But the chores lasted all day long, and I never did find time to play. Supper was over and dishes was done. I was too tired for my little son. I tucked him in bed and kissed his cheek and watched my little boy fall asleep. And I tossed and turned upon my bed. His words kept ringing in my head. "Not now, son. Go on and play. I've got too much to do today." Are you men that's gone every night? And when you're home, you ain't home. You're watching TV or on the computer or on the phone or something. You listen to me. I fell asleep in a minute's span. Now my little boy is a full-grown man. No toys are there to clutter the floor. No dirty fingerprints on the door. No snacks to fix. No tears to dry. Thought about my girls when I read this. Their rooms are empty now. I used to fuss when they'd have the TV on loud and spilling stuff in the floor now. Why don't y'all come over here and make a mess? Really, I mean, I miss it now. The rooms just echo my lonely sigh. And now I've got the time to play, but my precious boy's gone away. I woke myself with a pitiful scream and realized it was just a dream. For across the room in his little bed lay my little white-haired boy, the sleepy head. My work can wait till another day, for now I'm going to find some time to play. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.